The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Good Thursday morning, and welcome to another edition of Analyze This here on your NPR station, or as in radio station here in the Virgin Islands, WTJX FM, with yours truly, Neville James. Remember yesterday I tell you that in the afternoon it would be absolutely clear, right? Well, it wasn't absolutely clear yesterday. When I came over the hill there by Orange Grove, I didn't really see St. Thomas like I thought I would. But guess what? It's clear now. And this is just 8 o'clock, just thereabouts. And I came over the hill and I could even see the BVI, the outline for the BVI Islands to the east of St. John. I could see St. John nice right now. When I parked up, I could see St. Thomas over to the left. The west of St. John. So, one of those days, man. Virgin Islands in high visibility. Okay? You know, I tell you, you can watch certain shows in high definition. But right now, the territory looking lovely. And yo, it was just April 1st the other day, man. It's already April 18th. We are 60% into this month, like they say in the States, right? Not month. Month. M-U-N-F-F. Right? And it's carnival, baby. You know what I'm saying? Another 2 weeks from now. I don't know. So 2 weeks from this moment, Juvie gonna be taking place over on The Rock. Right? So we got a great show lined up today. I believe Island Green. They're already in the line. Island Green should be joining us. They got Earth Day. Planet versus Plastics event coming up on the 22nd. And hour number two, DPW Commissioner, Department of Public Works Commissioner Derek Gabriel and Jomo McLean are going to be joining us. You know, whenever they come on, we have a great informative hour as to what's going on in the territory. Right? Also, in between, at about 8:50, Lucy and Don's going to be calling in. They got a Renaissance show coming up on Saturday. So we wanted to let the public know what's going on about that. But in the meantime and in between time, I'd like to welcome, I think, Mr. Harith Wickrema. Should be on the line. Good morning, Mr. Wickrema. How are you?
Hello, Senator. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to hear your voice. Happy New Year. I know it's April, but, you know, it's the first time we're talking for the year.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yeah. Be doing more. I had Kelly McKinney with me, our executive director.
Good morning, Kelly McKinney. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Neville. I'm good. And yourself?
I'm doing well.
And I have invited Senator Potter and Dawn Henry. Dawn Henry is the new board member for Island Green Living. She was a former DPNR commissioner. So she's on. She's with us too today. Okay.
Good morning, Ms. Henry. How are you?
Good morning, Senator. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well. I was looking forward to calling you, Senator, but it didn't pan out in the last election.
There you go.
But don't feel that way. It's all good.
Senator,
Senator Potter joining us as well? Is that online?
Yes, sir. Hey, good morning, Mr. President. Good morning.
Good morning, Senator Milton Potter, out of the District of St. Thomas, St. John. Glad to have you on. We haven't had this much firepower in one place since Churchill dying by himself, man. What going on this morning, buddy?
You would know because I know you're a historian.
Good morning. Glad to have you on. So, let me yield Mr. Wickrema, take over and let the public know what we're going to be talking about for the next 45 minutes, if you will.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. As you know, Monday is the Earth Day, and it's a global event to bring attention to about our very fragile state of the Earth and what we as humans can do and should not do. And specifically in our islands, for Monday, we'll be having an event called Planet versus Plastic. The senator said, we have incredible firepower powered by Senator Milton Potter, along with Don Henry, the former DPNR commissioner, who has just joined Island Green Living as a new board member. She brings a plethora of knowledge for us. And, of course, our longtime executive director, Kelly McKenney. And they will, their intellectual capital will be shared. And the new legislature, Senator Potter, is writing with regard to styrofoam, to the fixing the hole in the plastic bag, to he'll talk about that. And I will also give have them share the exactly what we as residents of the island can do, we should not do, how to preserve it before it is too late, before we all get drowned in a tsunami of plastic.
Well, that's awesome. Ms. Henry, Commissioner, when you hear Planet versus Plastics, what comes to mind? What do you think lay people like myself and the residents of the territory should be brainstorming at that point when we break in on that particular matchup, Planet versus Plastics?
Yeah, so I think the theme is fitting because I know we've been noticing in the news a lot about plastics and the production of plastic and the waste that it has generated. It has reached a crisis for the environment and for our health. And so it's almost like this is a boxing match in terms of the planet versus plastics. And we have to ensure that the planet wins. And I really feel like it's that critical. And what I would like to be able to throughout this conversation is, one, bring to the attention of Virgin Islanders exactly what plastics are, because we think that they're something benign. Two, we want to talk about the environmental and the health impacts. And finally, I want to leave with how we could start to minimize our exposure by doing some practical things. So that's how I hope to see the conversation being driven today.
Thank you very much. Senator Potter, good morning once again. Mr. Wakrema mentioned styrofoam legislation. You want to enlighten the public as to where we are with that?
Definitely, we were able to, Neville, we were able to get the bill really performed, I'm pleased to say, to eliminate those polystyrene or styrofoam containers that are very popular in the territory, those little food trays, you know, that we are served when we do a little takeout stuff. And sometimes we just purchase it, pop it in our microwave ovens, and we eat it. We know for a fact that, you know, it has been labeled as a safe container to use to eat, right? That's what the experts say, but the experts also follow up by saying it is, when heated, you know, the potential for releasing toxins which may be carcinogenic is great.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, the food that you're eating is hot, the plastic melts, and we ingest it. So just from a health and safety standpoint, it is something that we need to curb. I know sometimes it's not easy to, you know, shift in a different direction from convenience. The convenience of it all is the lure that, you know, keeps us doing some very damaging things to our health, to our bodies, as well as to the environment, because it stays in our environment for hundreds of years. So I think the responsible thing for us to do is to pass legislation to get rid of this, you know, these styrofoams, as well as the little packing peanuts, little styrofoam peanuts that we use to pack stuff. It is something that we can and we must do. The state of New York has a very robust, stringent anti-styrofoam container ban. I think since like 2021, 2022. And that is something that we can do here in the Virgin Islands. We have a responsibility as an entity that makes our living through our environment. It's imperative that we send the message that we take, you know, the preservation of our environment seriously. So that legislation is something that we're going to be hearing a lot more of in the coming weeks and months, and we hope that the citizens of the Virgin Islands will rally around this, because there are healthy alternatives.
That's where we're going. So I just want to ask Ms. McKinney, doing some research here, based on what Senator Potter just mentioned, Colorado, Maine, Maryland, New York, New Jersey, Vermont, Virginia, Washington State, and Washington, D.C. They've actually banned the use of styrofoams. So clearly we have to look at alternatives. Businesses, they get used to a certain type of commodity to use for their business. So how do we go about if in fact, you know, we do go this route of, you know, easing and ultimately removing styrofoams out of our society, what's the alternative, and how do we go about getting the buy-in necessary with our businesses? Because we're talking about food consumption.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. You know, it's never easy to make a change. We as humans get stuck in our ways. And styrofoam, I think, also is one of, you know, the cheaper to-go vessels, so it's probably attractive from that standpoint, too. So really, it's just about getting out there and educating the businesses on just exactly what we're talking about. Not only are there environmental health concerns here, but the human health aspect is really, it's real. So when we're looking at putting hot foods in these containers, we need to consider the human health aspect. And hopefully, with education and awareness, slowly behavior start to change. Alternatives, you know, I've seen some establishments already carrying just like a paper cardboard box type container. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably right now the best alternative to the styrofoams that I have seen available from the packaging industry distributors here.
Go ahead.
This is Dawn. So I think that it's important in terms of change for people to understand with the plastics. I don't know if people are aware that plastics, they're made from crude oil, and they're sent to the crude oil we know, like Port Hamilton, I think that's what it's called these days, but it's sent to a facility like that, and it goes to the refining process. And in that process, you know, it refines the crude into different weights, and you get stuff like the asphalt, the diesel, the gasoline, and one of that is naphtha. And that is the important product that's used to make plastics. And you take the naphtha and you put it in a cracker, and they crack it, and it becomes ethane. And then that ethane goes through a polymerization, and that is where they start to add all sorts of nasty chemicals to produce these pellets that are sent to manufacturers to make things like the styrofoam we're talking about, these plastic plates that we eat out of, the water bottles that we drink. And we're talking about chemicals like phthalates, bisphenol, PFAS. I know a lot of people hear about PFAS. These are these forever chemicals.
that the buyer accumulates, and it's hard to get rid of them, not just from an environment, but from in our bodies. We're talking about formaldehyde, polyvinyl chloride, heavy metals such as lead. Plastics are made out of some really nasty carcinogen toxic chemicals, and it's not just one type. They have identified so far at least 10,000 different toxic chemicals that go into making plastics, and they just don't stay in the plastics. They leach out. And how do they leach out? We know that plastics, when they're in the environment, they break down. We hear about these nanoplastics and microplastics. There was just a study that came out, and these are reputable institutions. This is Columbia, their public health, School of Public Health. It was just in the news. They did a study where they found that on average, a liter of water contains some 240,000 detectable plastic fragments. And what those plastic fragments mean? Those toxic plastic chemicals. Because even though they break down into these fragments, the chemicals, the composition of the chemicals, they're still intact. So we're paying all this money. We're buying these waters thinking that they are nice and clean, and they're not. We really have a crisis, and these nanoparticles, they've been shown, and this is not conjecture, they've been shown that because they're so small, they can pass through our intestines and our lungs, and they go directly into our bloodstream. And they even travel to our hearts and brains. They can pass from mothers to babies while they're pregnant. So this is a serious issue that's happening with plastics, and it's not benign. And we need to get ahead of how these plastics are contributing to some of the health concerns that we find our people dealing with today, like diabetes, cancer. And again, we're not saying it's the cause, but it has been shown that they contribute in HDHD. It contributes to these things because they're in our bodies.
We're talking with the Island Green entity to include Mr. Harriet Wickrema, Island Green Board President and founder of Planet Green Force, along with their executive director, Ms. Kelly McKinney. We also have former Commissioner Don Lisa Henry, Commissioner DPNR, former Commissioner DPNR, and of course, Senator Milton Potter joining us this morning. Planet versus Plastics, USVI Earth Day takes place on Monday, April 22nd. We'll take a break and be back with more of this high-powered conversation right after this.
Something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station, in the Virgin Islands.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Stay updated with news, alerts, and other valuable information with WTJX Newsfeed. Listen to the latest news stories that matter with Marcelina Ventura Douglas. Weekdays at 5 p.m. on WTJX 93.1, WTJX Newsfeed, your source for stories that matter.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
And we're back here. Analyze this. It is a beautiful day in paradise, and I'm joined by environmentally conscious people. I think that's a good way. Would you all agree that that's a good way to label?
Amen.
All of us?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. We can get some consensus on that.
Yeah.
Harith Wickwerma, Don Lisa Henry, Senator Milton Potter, who also has a nickname from singing from back in the day, but we won't go there today, even though it's carnival time. You know what I'm saying? and Miss Kelly McKinney joining us. Monday is Earth Day, and Planet versus Plastics hybrid event taking place on April 22nd. Mr. Wickwerma, listening, and Miss McKinney, listening to Miss Henry and Senator Potter, you got to feel good knowing that you have this these knowledgeable Virgin Islanders, and not only knowledgeable, they're speaking with conviction and passion about not only educating the public, not only easing our way. And I think that's the best term. I don't think we should be radical about this, even though it's a very serious thing, right? I think easing our way is the best way to get the public to buy into this, right? Because everything takes time. Easing our way away from what a lot of us didn't know, including myself this morning. When I looked up styrofoam and I saw carcinogen, I said, "Wait a minute, yeah, this is an educational thing for me as well." So, Mr. Wickwerma, this has to be. You have to feel good knowing that you know, we got this kind of institutional knowledge and movers and shakers. I'm speaking on this issue. And because I'm glad, because you know I host a radio show, and I'm happy to be a part of this. You gotta feel good about this, Mr. Wickwerma.
Yes, Senators. One of the things that I'm when they attend this event, which is was started on like 5:30, 5:40 at the Gifted School in St. John, but available via Zoom for other islanders to listen in. Quite a few from St. Thomas are traveling. They'll be walking away with what they can do from that moment onwards. There are alternatives available to styrofoam. So our alternatives available for plastic water bottles. There are students who will be speaking. I listened to one of the student speakers. He will be asking for our leadership, our senators and our government leaders, not to carry a bottle of water, to drink from a plastic bottle, but to bring from reusable bottle. So let's our hope is lead by example. So with regard to the packaging, there's plenty of options. So we never bring a legislature without providing options. That's what we did with sunscreen, and that's what we have done with straws. However, in this, I must say this, Senator, our education and enforcement is not enough. And there are a handful of business leaders who totally ignore this. Unfortunately, even last week, I saw in the Red Hook one of the convenience stores carrying the bad sunscreen. I saw this one restaurant in St. John carrying plastic straws. I mean, these business leaders are trying to save a penny. That's not right for a tourism-based economy. And this is what we are hoping, that rather than shaming them, we want to educate them and let them embrace what's good for the planet. Planet versus plastic.
Ms. McKinney?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I second all of that, and I agree that it's wonderful to have Dawn join the team here at Island Green. I know she's been doing this kind of work long before she's come aboard with us, but it's, you know, the issues plaguing our planet, environmentally speaking, can be rather overwhelming, and so it's great to have as many people joining force to try to spread the word and help educate as possible. And I think when we look at this particular issue, there are some really simple steps that we can take that don't require a huge amount of change within our daily life that can make a really positive impact both on our human health and the environmental health. So I think that's, you know, the message here is that we want people to understand how these plastics can affect them and the environment. And, you know, really the message has always been reduce, reuse, recycle at the end, right? So you really want to look at ways in which you can just reduce your use of particularly single-use plastics from the get-go. You know, you go to, we were just talking about to-go containers. I don't always do this, but if I know I'm going out to dinner, I oftentimes will not eat the full meal. I'll try to bring a little glass, container with me and put half of the food in that container. It might seem kind of silly to the people at the restaurant, but, you know, it is one way to reduce one piece of plastic or styrofoam that maybe I may be offered from that establishment. You know, carrying a reusable cup or water bottle is another simple solution. Grocery bag, you know, a cloth grocery bag to the store. A metal straw, throw it in your bag. You know, this is something super cheap and easy that, you know, you can get, throw it in your bag. Same with a metal fork or spoon. Throw it in your purse or your backpack and just have it. So when you go to an establishment, they want to offer you a plastic bag, you know, with a fork and a spoon and a knife in it. You can say, no, I'm good. I have my utensil already. Although it seems small and maybe seems insignificant, when the masses start to do that, then we see real change happen.
Go ahead, Ms. Henry.
To add to that, in 1970 was the first Earth Day, and they were contesting issues like smog, the amount of water pollution we had throughout the nation, and the proliferation of pesticides. And out of that first Earth Day, that's how the U.S. EPA, you know, one of the driving forces behind the formation of the U.S. EPA through an executive order. And I mentioned that because individually, we can and we should make change, but I really, really feel that the government, as a steward of the public health of its citizens, have a major responsibility and role in responding to this issue. And it's through government intervention where we could get the biggest bang and change regarding the reduction, the removal of toxins from plastics, making plastics truly recyclable. And I think that Senator Potter, and I'll let him talk a little bit about this, he has another initiative called Skip the Stuff that speaks to, once again, government being able to bring about big change.
Senator Potter?
Thank you for that, Dawn. Thank you for the, you know, for that lead in. For sure, just piggybacking on what Kelly mentioned and Harith mentioned and Dawn mentioned earlier, enforcement is a weakness here in our territory. Very often, you may have the legislative branch, and Neville, you know about this. You celebrate because an initiative was passed, a bill was passed, and then, okay, it was passed. You celebrate. Now what? You know? So it's really much more about the implementation and execution than just simply passing the legislation, you know? So enforcement is a weakness. We hope that with the changes, the amendments to the plastic bag ban, which is going to be a part of the styrofoam ban initiative, we're going to also have funding, whereas the businesses right now really have gotten a windfall, so to speak, because from this plastic bag ban, because they're now charging 10 cents up to 25 cents for bags, right? Mm-hmm. And that really was the original intent of the legislation, you know? So now we're hoping that half or a percentage of that funding that, you know, they're passing on to the consumer is going to be steered towards the regulatory entity so that we can have more enforcement. And I think with enforcement comes education, too. If that entity, if that regulatory and enforcement entity understand and believe in the impact that these, the cumulative impact that these plastic bags and styrofoam containers have on our territory, they will be motivated to enforce, you know? So those are some things that we absolutely have to make sure that when you pass the bill on one end, that we also have the proper enforcement mechanism on the other.
Without a doubt. And public, public education is critical in getting us to that point, Senator Potter. So I'm glad that you went there. Mr. Wickrammer, you want to say something?
Yeah, talking public education, one of the most effective tools is bringing this knowledge to our kindergarten to grade 12 students. Let our 14,000-plus students be the educators to their parents. There's every time a legislature is passed with regard to this kind of consumer-resident engagement, let's have a budget to go to our public and private schools and ask the students, the teachers, to tell the students to go home and tell your mom and dad. Get your parents engaged. I believe that will have a... That is what the Planet Green Force is working on. That's another concept for another day. I also want to throw in another one. Before we reduce, rethink. Before you purchase something, do I need it or do I want it? That will make a significant difference even before you're reducing something. That's the first R that Island Green has been putting it out. And with Senator bringing this fantastic legislature, that will have a tremendous impact. The benefit of what Senator could do this time is, he just mentioned, funding. And the reason the agriculture legislature is going to be successful, they gave funding with the legislature. In fact, I want to just mention the next day on the 23rd, there's a town hall on the Agriculture, Food and Farm Council in St. John as well. So for the listening audience about food security, that's another one to attend. But on the other hand, plastic, planet versus plastic is rethink. Help the senator, support the senator who partner with his legislature. That will help our entire island as a tourism-based economy. And yes, we have new knowledge. I think, Senator, I mentioned this to you before. My dad always said, surround yourself with people smarter than you. That's why we have the new board member, Don Henry, and Donald Schnell joined us as well to our group of board members. And, of course, Kelly Lawmore.
Okay, well, check this out, right? I've always said that I try to be more educated at 10 a.m. weekdays than I am at 8 a.m. when I start my show. So one of my coworkers asked me to ask Aya a question. He said, could you please ask the guests about PFAS and given the EPA new guidelines and regulations for drinking water nationwide last week, is anyone in the territory testing for PFAS or PFAS, which can be found in plastics? So, of course, clearly I had to do some research. So, I didn't mean to cut you off because I'm kind of smiling here. This is a long word. You got six syllables in it, right? You got right to laugh, Miss Henry, right? So polyfluoroalkyl.
That's why you said PFAS.
PFAS, right? Right?
If you can't say the word,
No. The good thing about the internet is that you can Google pronunciation, right? So,
yes.
So. Polyfluoroalkyl. Is that how you pronounce it? Like, I don't want to butcher it. Is that correct, Miss Henry?
I don't even know. I just say PFAS, but I'll tell you the truth.
You just use the acronym for those things.
Yeah. It got six syllables in it, you know, so I'm learning, you know what I'm saying? But is Island Green aware of this, cognizant of this, and what's the deal in context of what we're trying to do here? Because the goal here is about reducing chemicals into our system and into our bodies and into our society. So,
Go ahead, Kelly, if you want to.
No, I was saying I think you should take this one, yeah.
Okay. So that's a perfect lead-in. PFAS, these are the chemicals that are used in plastic that we talked about before that are considered forever chemicals. And again, we know they're carcinogens. And what they do is they are in a class of what they call endocrine disruptors. So when they enter into your body, they mimic your hormonal system and they wreak havoc. And this is part of what is causing or contributing to a lot of the health issues we're experiencing. And the U.S. EPA, through their toxic substance control program, they are currently considering to ban vinyl chloride, which is the substance that's used to make PVC piping. And we know throughout the nation that they've received billions of dollars to replace lead piping. And there are some states like New York, New Jersey, and some other jurisdictions that have identified that because PVC pipe is made from this toxic chemical, vinyl chloride, that they are not installing PVC piping to carry their residents' drinking water. And we have to have an honest discussion here in the territory because we're doing this prudent replacement. And I think the idea, the decision is PVC is our only solution we think it's... Go ahead.
Let me stop right there because we're going to a break and we'll pick up that discussion right there when we come back right after this. We'll be back right after this.
On Finding Your Roots, Brendan Fraser.
My great-granddad?
Yes.
Was a candy salesman?
He's a candy man.
Yes!
And Valerie Bertinelli.
They kept so many secrets.
An ancestor's anger ends in violence.
That is your ancestor shooting another man.
That's a criminal.
And an unknown marriage uncovered in Italy.
Whoa, wait!
Yes.
That's not Angelina.
Tune in April 23rd at 8 p.m. on WTJX-TV Channel 12.
You know a good story when you hear it. Makes you feel, laugh, think. Sometimes you get a little teary. I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday, and each week we bring you stories from around the country and around the world. Stories that help you learn, make you smile, catch you by surprise. Please join us every Saturday for the news you need and the stories you won't forget.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duras. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
We're back here. I analyze this, wrapping up our conversation with the Island Green leadership, Mr. Harith Wickrema and Ms. Kelly McKinney, and also our board member Don Henry and Senator Milton Potter, who is working on legislation in concert with what we're trying to accomplish here from a, how do you say this, a socio-existence perspective. Good morning to all of you, and congratulations on this initiative and what we're trying to do on Earth Day coming up on April 22nd with an event, a discussion between 5:30 and 7 p.m. Mr. Wickrema?
Yes, I want to. I'm in Washington, D.C., and I attended an event last night called Planet Forward, and Senator Chris Coons of Delaware said he has a caucus bipartisan with people like Lindsey Graham, and they're working together. They have set aside $1 billion for conservation. And he said there are $2 billion to be brought up, and they had two already. Now the third one, private-public partnership. And so what the good news is that he was giving examples of conservative Republicans are working with him. This is the leadership we need. He gave some great examples. And I believe if we all work together as one party, means one planet, we can save it. Like Don mentioned in the 70s, ozone layer was the biggest issue. Guess what? They committed by 2040, they will be getting it closed. According to the United Nations, we're ahead of schedule. We will have that closed totally within the next few years, before 2040. So that's an example. If we team up together, all the scientists, all the countries work together, we can reverse global warming.
That's what I'm talking about. Quickly, to wrap up what you were talking about, Ms. Henry, so how do we balance the economics with the need for infrastructural change as quickly as possible?
Yeah, so the studies have shown that the real cost in pipe replacement is digging up the street and the labor, not in the cost of the material that you choose. The studies show it's only about a 5% differential, for example, to go from PVC to copper.
That's what I was going to ask you. So copper is the alternative? Is the suggested alternative?
That's one. That's what, that's what New York and places in New Jersey and stuff, that's what they're using.
Okay, good.
And, so I'm just saying, we should at least not just blindly go down the PVC road.
Okay. Senator Potter, you're taking notes?
Taking copious notes.
And the U.S. EPA, as you mentioned, they are looking to, because they realize that the drinking water standards, the testing, they're behind because there are so many of these plastic chemicals that are in our air and in our water supply, and they are looking at adding these testing parameters for PFAS and other chemicals in our drinking water supply.
Okay, so I live on Google, right? So alternatives to PVC pipes, PEX, ABC pipes, cast iron, HDPE, PE pipes. So you're saying would copper fall under one of these four, or copper is in addition to this?
I think that sounds like in addition. I didn't quite hear.
They got PEX, ABS pipes, cast iron, HDPE pipes, polypropylene, stainless steel, and then they got PVC down at the bottom and CPVC.
But quite a few of those that you mentioned are actually plastics.
Yeah, so plastics, right? So
quite a few of them.
So that's why education is important, because we really got to, mm-hmm. you know, we got really got to make sure that in not wanting PVC, we don't end up with something like PVC, or with the potential to have the same type of impact. Well, you know, I want to congratulate you. First of all, congratulations on being on the board, Ms. Henry, Commissioner Henry. A valued asset to Island Green, and that's a good thing. Mr. Wickrema and Ms. McKinney, Monday, April 22nd, 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Gift Hill School.
Yes, and you can find the flyer. Senator Potter has it on his website. IslandGreenLiving.org is our website. It's there. If you're a social media follower, it's also on Island Green's social media page, which is just Island Green Living. It is, and also Instagram, that has the link for the Zoom. If you are not able to attend in person, there's a link that you can click in. It's 5:30 to 7. We'll just say 7-ish. It sounds like the conversation may run a little long. And that is Monday, Earth Day, the evening of Monday, Earth Day. Yep.
Gift Hill School, Upper Campus, Route 104, Cruz Bay, St. John. You could attend. You could attend in person, or you could attend in person or via Zoom. And please RSVP for Zoom and in person attendance. And you can also call 340-998-4446. That's your number, Kelly?
It is.
Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah, 340-998-4446. You want to say something, Don?
No, I just wanted to emphasize that this is a territory-wide event, and we really would like to see Virgin Islanders in St. Thomas and in St. Croix, as well as those who can attend in person on St. John, to really take advantage of this webinar feature that we're going to be having, so that you can really get the information you need to make decisions for your family and for your community.
Without a doubt. And we're going to have a follow-up conversation. I could guarantee that, because early this week, I spoke with Zeno Bain. You know, Zeno works for the EPA, and he's based here in the territory. So we've been a little bit more, and hope to be a lot more, environmentally conscious here and analyze this going forward. Okay? So, Mr. Wickrema, Ms. McKinney, Senator Potter, and former Commissioner Henry, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations on this event for Earth Day. And we're gonna push it again on Monday, because Monday is Earth Day. So we'll push this again on Monday to get attendance and connectivity with the event for Friday, for Monday afternoon between 5:30 and 7 p.m. ish. Okay?
Thank you very much,
Neville. Thank you so much, Neville.
Yeah, finally, I want to thank you, Neville James. Your show is giving all these results. I was getting a plethora of text messages as going on, and two of them said they will attend the event. So your show is very powerful, and I appreciate you supporting the environmental work of the territory. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much for that compliment. We appreciate that. That's Mr. Harith Wickrema and Ms. Kelly McKinney from Island Green Living, and board member Don Henry, former commissioner of DPNR, and of course, Senator Mel Champata, the mighty stinging nettle. from back. Blame Doc Cole. I didn't know nothing about it. He and Louis Sylvester is the one who told me about it, so blame them for that. But I like the name, though, you know what I'm saying? And hey, it's Carnival, baby. Have a great April and May, early May. Okay, everybody?
Thank you.
Thank you, Neville.
Good, and have a great Earth Day as well on Monday. So that's a good start to the show. We got a little 10-minute conversation coming up here real quickly because I got a big shot here in the studio. She typically comes here as a voice, a leader for the Caribbean Museum Center for the Arts, Dung in the West. What's going on?
Good morning, Neville.
Hook up that microphone there for this lovely young lady here. Good morning.
Good morning, Neville.
Good. Introduce yourself to the audience, if you will.
I'm Lisa Mordhorst. Mm-hmm. I'm the Executive Director of CMC Arts, the Caribbean Museum Center for the Arts West.
We got an event coming up on Saturday?
We sure do.
Why did you guys do this on short notice? Because, you know, I like to give you a lot of time to talk about this.
Oh, you know, because we get so busy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we thank you so much for squeezing us in today. No,
I'm just teasing. It's good. What's-her-name was giving you propers last week. And I think we got Lucian Downs on the line as well. Junior, good morning, Mr. Downs. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. I was saying to Lisa, y'all was working in concert with the Forum last week. You had the jazz.
The VI Youth Ensemble, yes.
Ensemble, yeah, with Deion Parsons.
And through the United Jazz Foundation, Deion Parsons mm-hmm. and Carlton Holmes joined us with the class of 2024, mm-hmm. their students, and put on a beautiful concert. It was a little rainy.
Mm-hmm. But they were on. They came on the morning after. Two young men, JD. Right, Mr. Parsons Jr. Mm-hmm. and or DJ, I think it's DJ, right? It's
DJ.
Mm-hmm. And another young man came on as well, and we were glad to have them on. So that went well, given the circumstances.
Yes, it went very well.
Okay, that's good. So we got Renaissance Art Show coming up this week, Mr. Downs.
Yes, sir. We have actually it's called the Rebirth, the Spring Equinox Show. Mm-hmm. You know, something different, you know, going to bring a different feel. Very excited about that. I've seen some amazing work thus far from people. You know, this is one of my first, like, real theme show. So I wanted to see what the artists would have been able to produce, and we are very happy with the results.
Okay, so it happens when?
It happens this Saturday from 4 to 8 o'clock. We're going to have food, of course, and some music provided by, I know that Miss Lisa knows the group better than I do.
So we
relay that information.
Yeah, we have Baz and Dem playing from starting at 6:30 until 8, and DJ Chef Chevy is doing her chef side of her, and she'll be providing the small bites mm-hmm. for the evening, also starting probably around 6:30 as well.
Okay.
But the doors open to see the show from 4 to 8, and our bar's open, so come on out and join us.
What's the theme for the show, Mr. Downs?
It's just, you know, it's more about, like, what is your take on the spring equinox, rebirth, you know, because I just think that I've always had like a Caribbean themed show. So I'm like, you know what, let's just thin it down to make it more substantial so that people could kind of be more creative, you know, and bring out like their thoughts on what exactly, you know, this topic means to them. So once again, I was very excited by people's interpretation of the theme, and, yeah, I'm sure that you all will be too.
No. Miss Mordhorst, are you just continue to do things that are so well received, aesthetically clean? What is it about CMCA? Why are you just having this kind of positive impact on the island?
Well,
a lot of hard work.
Excuse me, it's a lot of hard work. It's passionate work. It's a lot of fun. It really is. And we're always trying to bring in new people to work with us as well from the community. Collaboration is our mission. Education is our mission. And some of the ways that the educational components, pardon me, are brought to the community is through our exhibitions. And because art is the essence of the voice of the people. It signifies pure freedom, in my opinion. So we strive to support that in our community, and we're constantly striving for excellence. So every opportunity that we have, which is every time we do something new or try again at something, we're trying to raise the bar a little bit for ourselves, mm-hmm. for our community, just because trying is really the essence of us as humans as well. You know, we try to be better. We try to challenge ourselves. So that's our goal.
Rebirth. Virgin Islands artists celebrate the spring equinox, curated by Lucien Downs. It begins on Saturday, April 20th. It runs through Memorial Day weekend, thereabouts, May 25th.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
And opening reception takes place this Saturday, right, at the Caribbean Museum Center for the Arts down in the West. What number is it? 12?
10.
Number 10, Strand Street. That's the, what's the color? Blue or purple?
It's the blue building in West.
The blue building, can't miss it. From 4 to 8 p.m., $20 allocated for coming. For members, it's $10. So by the way, it's good to promote membership, right? Because you get the benefits, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so same thing here with WTJX and the public broadcast.
Yeah, in this case, it's 50% difference.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So membership is good to mm-hmm. entities like ours and the CMC. Yeah, the arts. Mr. Curator, congratulations
yes,
once
sir.
Again, man. You're gone from artists to running things, man.
Yeah, man.
Hey, look, I had a conversation with, Lisa, you might like this. I had a conversation with Joseph Hughes, that's his name, and Zach.
Zach
Zook.
Zook from 81C. And hey, look, we're looking at possibly holding an auction down here in the wintertime. You know, make the Virgin Islands a location for an auction. So we're reaching out to, how do you pronounce this? Sotheby's or Sotheby's?
Sotheby's.
Obviously, this is ideal location that time of year, you know what I'm saying, in the wintertime. So keep your eyes open and your ears to the grindstone for that one, because I think that could really be big here in the territory. Okay, so we're thinking big. All right?
All right, man, for sure. Yeah, okay, man, take it easy.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Lucien Downs Jr. and Mr. Lisa Mordehorse.
Thank you.
For joining us, and congrats once again on an awesome event.
Thank you so much.
You got it. We'll take a break. Be back right after this with the Department of Public Works.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.